him in urgent tones and kept interrupting herself in a different voice. "It is really vitally important that we are allowed to speak to whoever is in charge," said Aziraphale. "I really must ask that..." "He's right, you know. I'd be able to tell if he was lying." "Yes, thank you. I think we'd really achieve something if you kindly allow me to carry on." "All right, thank you. I was only trying to put in a good word. You were asking him to..." "Yes, all right, now."
"D'ye see my finger?"
shouted Shadwell, whose sanity was still attached to him, but only on the end of a long and rather frayed string.
"D'ye see it? This finger, laddie, could send you to meet your maker."
Sergeant Diesenberger stared at the black and purple nail a few inches from his face. As an offensive weapon, it rated quite highly, especially if it was ever used in the preparation of food. The telephone gave him nothing but static. He'd been told not to leave his post. His wound from Nam was starting to play up. He'd slipped and fallen in a hotel shower when he took a holiday there in 1983. Now the mere sight of a bar of yellow soap could send him into near-fatal flashbacks. He wondered how much trouble he would get into for shooting non-American civilians. The four bicycles pulled up a little way from the base. Tire marks in the dust and a patch of oil indicated that other travellers had briefly rested there. "What are we stopping for?" said Pepper. "I'm thinking," said Adam. It was hard. The bit of his mind that he knew as himself was still there, but it was trying to stay afloat on a fountain of tumultuous darkness. What he was aware of, thought, was that his three companions were 100% human. He'd got them into trouble before, in the way of torn clothes, docked pocket money and so on, but this one was almost certainly going to involve a lot more than being confined to the house and made to tidy up your room. On the other hand, there wasn't anyone else. "All right," he said. "We need some stuff, I think. We need a sword, a crown, and some scales." They stared at him. "What? Just here?" said Brian. "There's nothing like that here." "I don't know," said Adam. "When you think about the games and that, you know, we've played." Just to make Sergeant Diesenberger's day, a car pulled up and it was floating several inches off the ground because it had no tyres or paintwork. What it did have was a trail of blue smoke, and when it stopped, it made the pinging noises made by metal cooling down from a very high temperature. It looked as if it had smoked glass windows, although this was just an effect caused by it having ordinary glass windows but a smoke-filled interior. The driver's door opened and a cloud of choking fumes got out. Then Crowley followed it. He waved the smoke away from his face, blinked, and then turned the gesture into a friendly wave. "Hi," he said. "How's it going? Has the world ended yet?" "He won't let us in, Crowley," said Madame Tracy. "Aziraphale, is that you? Nice dress," said Crowley vaguely. He wasn't feeling very well. For the last 30 miles he had been imagining that a ton of burning metal, rubber and leather was a fully functioning automobile, and the Bentley had been resisting him fiercely. The hard part had been to keep the whole thing rolling after the all-weather radials had burned away. Beside him, the remains of the Bentley dropped suddenly onto its distorted wheel rims as he stopped imagining that it had tyres. He patted a metal surface hot enough to fry eggs on. "You wouldn't get that sort of performance out of one of these modern cars," he said lovingly. They stared at him. There was a little electronic click. The gate was rising. The housing that contained the electric motor gave a mechanical groan and then gave up in the face of the unstoppable force acting on the barrier.
"Hey," said Sergeant Diesenberger, "which one of you yo-yos did that?"
Zip, 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 and a small dog, its leg a blur. They stared at the four ferociously pedalling figures that ducked under the barrier and disappeared into the camp. The sergeant pulled himself together.
"Hey," he said, but much more weakly this time. "Did any of them kids have some space alien with a face like a friendly turd in a bike basket?"
"Don't think so," said Crowley.
"Then," said Sergeant Diesenberger, "they're in real trouble."
He raised his gun. Enough of this pushing around, he kept thinking of soap.
"And so," he said, "are you."
"I warns ye," Shadwell began.
"This has gone on too long," said Aziraphale.
"Sort it out, Crowley, there's a dear chap."
Said Crowley.
"I'm the nice one," said Aziraphale. "You can't expect me to..."
"Oh, blast it. You try to do the decent thing, and where does it get you?"
He snapped his fingers. There was a pop, like an old-fashioned flashbulb, and Sergeant Thomas A. Diesenberger disappeared.
Said Aziraphale.
"See," said Shadwell, who hadn't quite got the hang of Madame Tracy's split personality. "Nothing to it. You stick by me, you'll be all right."
"Well done," said Crowley. "Never thought you had it in you."
"No," said Aziraphale, "nor